speaking the word does something to you. If we could speak the word of God, the Spirit of God attaches to what is being spoken, and the power is released through our speaking. Nothing happened when God was creating the world until he spoke it. And some of your situations won't change until you speak it. How many of you believe in God for a change? Let's read it together. And of his fullness, we all. Let's read it again. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you have grace. Amen. All right, we're gonna begin at verse number 12. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for ushering us into your presence. Father, we know that we are insufficient in your eyes. We have done wrong, and we have said wrong things. But it's your grace that has given us pardon. And Father, you have given us grace unto grace unto grace. And it was grace that allowed us to make it to your house today to celebrate the power in the resurrection of your son, Jesus. Father, we ask now that you will just bind every thought that is not like you. Bring us into harmony with one another, that we will be pleasing in your sight. Father, we hunger and thirst now after righteousness. So come, Lord, and let your word mold us and make us to be who you called us to be. Break down every shackle that's been trying to hold us. Lord, infuse us with your wisdom and your might, that you, Lord God, would be glorified through all that you bring us through. And I, Father, as I stand here, I declare that I am not the preacher nor the teacher. But I'm calling unto you, God, that you would crush now the spirit of Felix, move him out of the way, that your investment, the anointing, would manifest and come and teach and preach to us, that we would be changed to be more like you. Break every yoke of bondage. Set the captives free. And who the Spirit has set free is free indeed. We give you glory. Now, God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you that can stand, we normally stand for the reading of the word of God. If not, you can remain seated. The word will reach you right where you are. Beginning at verse number 12, and the word is on the wall. But as many as received him, they're talking about Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God. Get that in your spirit. You are a child of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Amen. Now turn to John chapter 20. Right to become children of God. Verse number 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter. They said the one he loved, that love will make you run fast. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own home. There was the power of resurrection, because scripture had already been foretold that Jesus must be raised up from the dead. There is so much focus on the revelation of resurrection. But I believe that God wants you to look deeper into the resurrection and see what it was that truly resurrected him. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because the Bible says he must get up. And it was grace that brought on the resurrection. And I've got news for you. It is grace that keeps resurrecting you. And I want you to meditate on this thought. Grace got you up. Tell your neighbor, grace did it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk candidly with you for a moment as it relates to the church. Because we see leading up to this day, the Holy Week, and what was happening during Holy Week as it began. Because Jesus came riding in on the fold of a donkey to begin the week. And the people, the believers, were shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna to David, the Most High King. And the same people who were shouting on the beginning came Friday and they were yelling, Crucify him. It is something that I can have a remembrance that something was going on when he came riding in on the fold of the donkey. That the believers, the disciples, the Bible says, the ones that followed Jesus began to shout as he was coming, Hosanna. And there were some Pharisees, that means the teachers of the law, were there. And when they heard the disciples shouting, Hosanna, the King of David, Hosanna to the highest, they became disturbed and told Jesus, hush them up. They were caught up in the law. According to scripture, the law had only spoke of God being God all by himself, but they missed through the prophet Isaiah that Jesus was going to come. Thereby knowing that if they didn't know, it's only because God did not reveal it to them. I've got to say that because some of us think that we know so much. And the only reason why you know what you know is because God revealed it to you. Thereby, you cannot judge somebody else, because if he revealed it to you in your time, he will reveal it to them in their time. We have got to stop trying to push people in the church and try and convince them into coming to church. You don't have to convince them. You could talk to God about them, and God knows how to get them to the place where he is. It is something that I began to pray for, talk to one of my friends and tell him, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need a relationship. Only to get a rejection every week. But the moment I stop asking him to come and pleading with him to come, and I turn to God and say, God, you brought me in. Can you just bring him in? I believe that very next Sunday he came to me and said, hey, man, I'm going to church with you, and has been serving God ever since. I'm saying all of that to say God knows how to do what he needs to do. After all, he got you here today. I know. You may have come in. I just needed to come. No, God wanted you here today because he wanted you to hear this word. There was a commercial out a long time ago, and it was about a beer commercial, and it was called Budweiser. And so they would say, this Bud is for you. I want to tell you, this word is for you. Sometimes we get so excited about the word of God, and when God drops nuggets, and you say, ooh, so-and-so should have been here to hear that. Let me tell you, share something with you. No, they shouldn't have. Because if they were supposed to be here, God knows how to get them here. This word would apply to you, and if it doesn't apply to you right now, pack a lunch. You'll need it one day. This particular text, you would see that John begins to talk, and he's talking about what the purpose of Jesus is. And Jesus was coming. John says that one that is preferred before me because he was before me, because Jesus was always here. He was with God. He was in the beginning, and he's going to be there in the end. Jesus is eternal. It is only the fact that he came down in body. And the reason why he came down in body is because we needed what's called a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is one who can relate to what you are experiencing in life, whereby Jesus says, okay, Dad, it's time. Send me down. Mary, where you at? And he called on Mary. He comes down to earth and experiences all the pain that we might experience. Jesus, in 33 years, experienced more pain than all of us put together. One Friday night, I believe that he experienced more pain on that one night than we can experience in a lifetime. Jesus had, listen, the Bible, as Isaiah said, that he was acquainted with grief. He had experienced the very same thing that we experienced so that he could relate to what we're going through. I want you to know, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through right now. Now, the thing is, he says that he is Lord of all. And if he is Lord of all, then it's up to you, being a child of God now, that to believe that he's able to fix your situation. I didn't really understand the power of God until one day I began to praise God. I had been called into ministry and we had went to church. And I'm a young preacher, don't know nothing about the Bible, but God called me. And so I've been studying, trying to do what God called me to do. I go home from church only to invite some people over from church. And you know how it is when you're a new believer. You want the word all the time. So we slipped in one of those VHS and we were watching a sermon by Bishop T.D. Jakes. Now get this. I was called to preach and I had developed a growth on my tongue. I went to the doctors on the growth because every time my tongue hit the top of my mouth, it was excruciating pain. They said they can remove it with a laser, but I was going to talk funny. I would have probably a lip or a speech impairment. That day after church, we watched the tape and began to praise God. It was just a few people in the house, and we got so happy because it was speaking on the power of the blood and what Jesus had done for our life. We began to praise God, and next thing I know, the whole house is in a worship experience. And while we were experiencing worship, I began to feel my tongue hitting the top of my mouth, and there was no pain. I left the group and went into the bathroom, and I got into the bathroom and looked in the mirror, and the growth that had grown large on my tongue was gone. What am I saying? I'm saying that in the middle of praise, God would do something that don't make sense to no one. I came back, licked out my tongue to show my wife my tongue, to show her, look, something's going on. And she began to jump and praise God because the doctors had said one thing, but God was up to something totally different. Because when you begin to praise God, and listen, you may not even believe God. Just because you're praising him, he will come down in your situation and reveal his glory over your life. This is the Jesus that John is talking about. And so he says, this purpose that he has to come is to make us all children of God. I have children. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for my children. You do all you can for your children. And if you know that God is your daddy, that you're a child of the Most High God, then you know you don't have to worry about it anymore, because worrying delays God, but worship brings God into your situation. So John says, he's coming and he's bringing grace unto grace. Now, wait a minute. I looked in the Bible and there's always been grace, and everybody said, we're under the dispensation of grace. Well, what is grace? Grace is the supernatural, unmerited power of favor of God upon your life. Grace means when you don't even ask for it, you have it. God has given us what's called grace. Grace is your pardon from everything that you do wrong. He makes it right because of grace. So thereby, God had a plan set up. He says the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew that you were going to be a sinner. He knew everything that you were going to do. He knew that you still sneak and do stuff. But God doesn't care about the sin. He cares about delivering the sinner. Can we just get it in our spirit that God is on your side? God is the one that's over you. God cares about you. God is not trying to punish you. God is trying to release the promises over your life, giving you grace unto grace.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
It says that Moses, the law came through Moses. But through Christ Jesus, we have what's called grace, which means grace superseded the law. So the very thing that the law tries to hold you hostage in, the thing that the law tries to keep you in prison. Can I talk to anybody that ever been incarcerated? That's like saying when they want to give you a life sentence that, listen, grace can come in and give you a pardon that don't make no sense. You were supposed to really get it, but because grace was in place for your life, no matter what they tried to give you, grace superseded it. Grace was over it. That meant the judge that wanted to give you life had to mess up and just release you because grace will release you. So then the law tries to hold you because you've been living under the law. And when you live under the law, you're living in a worldly system. But when you become a child of God, you be called into what's called kingdom living. You the king's kid. Even when you broke as a joke, you know what daddy got in his wallet. So you don't worry about a thing. Because you the king's kid. And when it comes time for the king to give to his prince or princess, I'm going to get whatever daddy has because I'm a child of the Most High God. He knows exactly what we need. He knew that sin was going to hold us in bondage. The only thing that can truly set you free is grace. Now understand that Jesus knew that grace was going to raise him from the dead. The Bible says when he was on the cross, he said, it's a finished work. Once he said it was a finished work, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. In other words, I'm out of the world's hands now. I'm in your hands. And your hands are all powerful. And once you get in the hands of God, then you know everything is going to be all right. As a matter of fact, if you can really truly believe and stop talking about what's going wrong and begin to talk about how right God made you to be and just tell God, God, come and fix me because I need your hand. I'm out of the world's hand. Take me out of the doctor's hands. I don't believe what the doctor says. I believe in your healing power. If you believe, God will do what you believe him to do. So he's holding back grace. He's holding back grace for a people who will be dispensers of his grace. So then he chose you. Say, I'm chosen. I really didn't realize that I was chosen because I thought that it was me that said, yes, Lord, and I came crying down the aisle. But I could not have done that until he made the first move. Because you must believe. And how do you believe unless he comes inside of you so that you know he's there? You can't explain it, but you just believe it. And so he makes us children of God first. Jesus makes a statement. He's on the cross. Unto thy hands I commit my spirit. It's done. He goes into the tomb. Listen, Jesus is so absolute that in the beginning he cared about everyone. The Bible said the first day he went down into the tomb, he went down in the lower parts of the earth and woke up the dead. The Bible said dead folks was walking. because he was going to release everybody that had been everything that was dead, he had to make alive. So they were a part of that resurrection period because he went down and unlocked them. He cares about people whether dead or alive because he cares so much about you that when you were yet dead in your trespasses, he knew that one day he was going to stop you from smoking, stop you from drinking, stop you from cussing. He knew that he was going to come in, and if he didn't stop you, he was going to put enough grace in place so that God would forgive you. He put grace in place so that nobody could charge nothing against you. Shout him free. So Jesus, on the third day, we come out and celebrate the resurrection. Even the world pauses. They call it Easter. And we celebrate. But what are we really celebrating? We're really celebrating, we say, the resurrection. But what rose them up? Grace. There was one mission. And that was that grace would get put in place for every believer. So grace got Jesus up. And I know you think you be getting yourself up every day, but grace gets you up. Anybody ever been through stuff, something that your whole heart just was aching and you just felt like, ooh, I just want to throw in the towel. Somebody in here felt like dying before. And anybody can just be real and say, I felt like giving up on everything. You did. And if it was up to you, you would have gave up. But here's some good news. It's no longer up to you because you were purchased with the blood of Jesus. And now you have grace. And even when you want to quit, you just mess up and keep on going anyway. Because the power of God will not let you stop. The doctors may count you out, but until God says it's over, he has the final say so. Grace will keep getting you up. Grace woke up Lazarus, dead for 4 days. Jesus spoke grace over his life. Here come Lazarus. Grace will get you up. Grace. You get stuck in sin and all stuff start happening in your life. And the enemy wants you to focus on what's wrong. But God says, I put grace in place for that too. What? That secret sin that only he knows about. Isn't it something that God don't pull the sheets off of you? Huh? There's some stuff that only you and God know about. And aren't you glad that he's a God that covered you up? Instead of being a God that snatched stuff off, he just said, oh no, I got to put some more grace over here because this one right here isn't done yet. I got to put some more grace on them until I finish cooking them because he keeps hopping out the oven going to do what they want to do. But when grace gets a hold of you, and that's what God wants you to know, his grace is sufficient. For who? For you. He says his strength is made perfect in weakness. And we think weakness is a bad thing. But when you get weak, God gets strong in you. Because truly, it takes a weak moment for you to call out to God. Don't you know when you felt like giving up everything that it was something inside of you that began to call out to God? There's something inside of you that knows only God can help you when everybody else leaves the room and it's just you and God. You have a talk with God and God has been faithful. So, Jesus is in the tomb. But he cares about you. And if he would have stayed there, we couldn't have been forgiven. If he would have stayed there, we couldn't receive supernatural healing. If he would have stayed there, that meant when addiction got you, it wouldn't have let you go. But God had set grace in place. He says, I have a people that I got to show my supernatural power through. And so the thing that was supposed to knock you down and keep you down couldn't hold you down. You had to stand back up. Anybody been counted out before? Hallelujah. And get this. So you, somebody you love just walked out of your life and told you, oh, yeah, you ain't going to make it without me. You ought to send them a postcard. That was your best blessing. When they walked out of your life, that's when you really began to cry out to God. That's when grace took you over. That's when you started getting up with the power of God because you couldn't get up on your own. Wondering, looking back, how did I make it through this? It was grace that kept you going. It was grace that moved you forward. It was grace. The grace of God, the love of God, grace. Grace pardoned our sentence. We were all supposed to die. But grace said, now we're all alive. And nothing can take you out of the hand of God. Because grace keeps you there. Can I give you a picture? No matter how much sin you do, God chose you. There's nobody in here that has it all together. I want to talk to the people that are here for the first time. Don't none of us in here have it together. And here we don't even pretend like it. Every one of us is one step away from falling. And if God takes his hand off of us, we're going to fall down too. And the only thing holding us up is the grace of God. And the only reason why I can keep putting one foot in front of the other is the grace of God. Oh, but you're so loving. It's not me. It's the grace of God being activated through me. I used to be a restless character, but the grace of God will come in and change you. I used to be a sneaky joker, but the grace of God will come in and change you. Oh! God wants us to receive his grace. He did all of that. He went through everything he went through so he could cover you. Grace covered your sin. The bigger it gets, the bigger grace gets. Therefore, we don't have to point at nobody else's sin. Because if you're a child of God, now I'm going to get rid of the church and bring us into relationship. Because if you're in relationship with God, you realize that God's the one that saved you. And there's no reason for you to talk about somebody else's sin because you didn't deliver yourself from your sin. The same grace that helped you is the same grace that helps them. Well, then, preacher, what do? Give them some grace. Huh? Why can't we just be graceful to them and wait for them? Wait for God to make a change in them instead of talking about how wrong they are. Let's talk about how right God can make them. Huh? Does anybody believe that God can save my whole house? God can turn a wayward one around? God can make a rough mountain smooth? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever hope, think, or imagine? My God, Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. God, the creator. God, the dispenser of grace. Of grace. I'm so thankful that I don't get me up anymore. I'm thankful that I know who does. He has put so much grace through the resurrection. He got up so that grace would be in place. Every one of us, because of our sin, deserved to die. We did. But Jesus says, when I get up, the penalty that you were supposed to get, I'm going to cover it all up with grace. And now where there was guilt, there's innocence. So he says, my grace purchased you, which makes you no longer a sinner. You're just one who sinned. But grace is keeping you. So no matter what happens to a believer, grace has been put in place for you. Here's what I know for sure. When I first came to Christ, I was trying my best to do everything right. I was trying. And I was in the church, and the church was watching me. And if I did any little thing wrong, they were tearing me apart. And I went to witness with them to a club. And when we got to the club, they started drinking. But I didn't have no drink. I was tearing with people that Jesus loved them. He changed my life. I went back to where I was to let them know what God had done. Now, some other people from the church had talked me into going. Started drinking. It was cool. I didn't judge them. But then I did a wedding. And they said, hey, preacher, can you have a toast of champagne? I said, yeah. Took a sip of the champagne. The whole church started talking about it. It was spreading like wildfire. Isn't that something? That's churchism. God, listen, God did not call you to be religious. He called you into an intimate relationship. God wants an intimate relationship with each one of you. That's why he put grace in place. He says, because I'm intimate. I want you to come to know me. I want you to feel comfortable revealing your whole self to me because I see it anyway. He says, I want relationships so that you can relate to me. I already relate to you. That's why I sent Jesus to give you grace. The relationship will have you relate to God. When you start relating to God, it becomes a relationship. Now get this, we're going to talk about relationship next month, but I just want to drop this nugget. To relate to something means to understand it. The relationship takes you to a deeper meaning with God because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto it. Well, when you enter into the relationship, you know, you can relate to somebody, but after the relation, they can leave. But when you go into relationship, there is an attachment. And a ship floats on water. So the thing that would normally take you under because you're in relationship, you can never go under. But here's some good news. Not only does a ship do that, but a ship carries the cargo. When you enter the relationship with God, all the cargo that he has becomes yours because you can relate to him because you understand the relation. And that's what God wants from each one of us. A relationship. He don't want you to be religious. Show up to church. Because I was religious at one time. I'm going to give God my 2 hours and I'm coming on home. He don't want that. He wants you. He wants you to come know who he is. So that you can obtain everything that he has. The supernatural favor of God. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant peace. Abundant joy. You know how when you're supposed to fall apart and you just get happy? Because you're not focused on what's around you. You're focused on what's in you. And that's what he wants from every believer. Everybody rest to your feet. He wants a relationship with you.